This is Homemade Radio. The time is 1 o'clock.
Facts, not fiction. Truth, not falsehood. As it happens, where it happens, when it happens. Unmill Radio News, your first choice.
This is Unmill Radio, the official voice of the United Nations in Liberia. The Unmill Radio News, I'm Augustine Hammerberg. First, the headlines. The UN Special Representative for International Migration, Louise Abbott, said migrants should not be viewed as a burden. President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf dedicates a modern passenger terminal at RIA. And the World Health Organization's WHO calls for additional resources to improve access to life-saving treatments. Those were the headlines. Now the news in detail. President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has dedicated a modern passenger terminal at the Rabat International Airport, describing it as a key deliverable in the country's economy. Our reporter Romeo Tokbayes at the RIA, he now joins us live for an update about the activities there. We're trying to get in touch with him. Let's see. Romeo, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, it's good to have you live on the news. Tell us, what actually is the significance of this new terminal that was pre-dedicated today?
Like you said, actually pre-dedicated, that's the phrase, because it has not been 100% complete yet. This is, from what we look at, is about 50% or thereabout complete. But the president said, you know, statement is the forward march to the country in transforming the RIA into a modern airport architecture that will be able to attract bigger airlines coming to Liberia and boosting the country's tourism industry. She said, I mean, it's a departure from the past, where the RIA was seen as an ugly face of the country's 14 years of civil crisis. But this now is a sample of what she considers a transformation in Liberia.
So where did the finances for this project come from?
Well, this is a grant from the Chinese government to Liberia. So obviously, in the long term, Liberia will pay for it. It's like $50 million United States dollars. But before the pre-dedication, like you read for it, of this passenger terminal, the president also dedicated the renovated runway of the RIA. You know, the RIA runway have been bumping, and that was one of the reasons some of the airlines pulled out initially from here because of safety reasons, and the government had to take steps to address that. And that fund was provided for the renovation of the runway of the RIA was provided by the Saudi government, and that is like $30 million U.S. dollars. So we have a combined project at the RIA of $80 million. It's $50 million for the passenger terminal, as well as $30 million for the renovated airport runway.
Okay, Romeo, thank you so much for talking to us. We hope to hear from you more in our subsequent newscast.
Thank you.
That's Romeo Tokba, our reporter live at the Rabat International Airport, telling us about the pre-dedication of a modern passenger terminal and the runway. Meanwhile, as part of efforts to decentralize activities of the government of Liberia from central to county level, the government and partners on Saturday dedicated and turned over Grand Coulee County Service Center. Speaking at the ceremony, Internal Affairs Acting Minister Vanin Sirleaf described the construction of the County Service Center as a significant gain in the government of for the government of Liberia. Minister Sirleaf challenged people and residents of the county to make maximum use of the center, indicating the constraint faced by people of the county to access basic services in Monrovia has now been solved. For her part, the United States Ambassador to Liberia, Christine Elder, praised the government of Liberia for the development, describing the initiative as one of the major gains of Liberia's government to deconcentrate and decentralize governance to the ordinary people. The UN Special Representative for International Migration, Louise Abbott, has said although some people believe migrants arrive in countries to steal local jobs and take advantage of social services, these perceptions are not based in reality, citing data showing the economic benefits migrants workers bring to the countries where they have settled and their own homelands. Madam Louise stressed that the international community is in the process of devising a global agreement that fosters safe, regular and orderly migration to be adopted next year.
As member states of the United Nations are working on a global compact, they must at all times remember that this is about people who, for a variety of reasons, have left their country of origin or their country of nationality and are in the process of moving somewhere else or have now settled somewhere else. They are an immense factor of prosperity, not just for themselves, for their country of destination, and that this issue presents itself globally in all kinds of different fashions. We should make no assumption whatsoever about who migrants are, and certainly not work on stereotypes.
That's the UN Special Representative for International Migration, Louise Abbott. She spoke ahead of the International Migrants Day observed on 18th December annually. The Liberia Elections Observation Network, LEON, says it has conducted citizens' perception survey on the election legal process. LEON official Augustine Tama said during the legal proceedings between the Liberty and Unity parties against NEC, they interviewed 826 Liberians across the country who expressed contrary views that they were not fully aware of the legal process, while 38% said the process was necessary to test Liberia's democracy. Mr. Tama added that 32% said the parties were creating unnecessary delays, while 14% expressed lack of confidence in the National Elections Commission.
12% rated in their response that they felt the elections of the first round were fraudulent, and so they did not have confidence in the result thereof. However, when we asked our respondent as to how they felt the legal process was affecting them, 70% of our respondents said the legal process was both affecting the country and that of their family.
There's an official of the Liberia Elections Observation Network, LEON, Augustine Tama. Meanwhile, the National Elections Security Task Force has begun modalities for the redeployment of security officers recalled after the October 10 elections. The Security Task Force, headed by the Inspector General of the Liberia National Police and co-chaired by the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces of Liberia, met with heads of state security institutions earlier today to draw down plans ahead of next week's Tuesday runoff election. Well, police spokesman Sam Collins told On Mill Radio that the high-level security meeting mainly focused on the deployment of security officers in all of the 15 counties.
You know that we have to deploy the officers within the 15 political subdivisions of our country. We have 2,814 prisons to cover with security in the electoral warehouses and all are to be provided security. So these are some of the things that the LNP, in conjunction with other agencies, are now involved in making sure that we have our men deployed ahead of next Tuesday's elections.
Police spokesman Sam Collins. The Female Journalists Association of Liberia has concluded its annual retreat in Ganta, Nima County, with representatives from 11 of the 15 counties of Liberia. The event aimed at taking stock of the association's activities over the years and to chart a new course for the future. The association coordinator, Siata Scott Johnson, said through the assistance of partners, they were able to get most of their rural members to attend the annual retreat.
Everybody should be able to come to the retreat. We couldn't have Krenku because in the middle of the road, Krenku car developed technical problems, so they could not go any further. They had to turn around and go back. We get word from Rivers and Sino. Those are the three counties that were not present. But besides that, we had all the counties there. We opened it up, but then we got sponsors to be able to at least transfer them back. We have 19 females coming from Zurich. We had sponsors that agreed to transfer at least 25 females back.
Senator Scott Johnson told Unmill Radio the highlight of the retreat was focused on their constitution and a strategic plan. According to her, Fiji's constitution was redesigned, especially regarding members from the same institutions vying or the same institution vying for an elected post.
Our current constitution, we have issues with the constitution last retreat, and those issues were settled. We look at our strategic plan, it was also successful. We had a clause in the constitution that said two persons from the same institution cannot be elected. This time around, we redesigned the clause and said two persons from the same institution should not apply. If they do apply, the constitution gave the electoral body the right to disqualify the vote.
That's the coordinator of the Female Journalists Association of Liberia, Senator Scott Johnson. Leaders of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, have paid homage to President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf as she attended the last summit of the regional body as president of Liberia. Madam Sirleaf's special recognition took place during the 52nd ordinary session of the Authority of Heads of State and Government of ECOWAS, held on Saturday, December 16 in Abuja, Nigeria. The news is coming to you from Unmill Radio, the official voice of the United Nations in Liberia. The World Health Organization WHO Regional Director for the continent, Dr. Matshidiso Moeti, has warned that the lack of funding is hampering the fight to improve health care in Africa, calling for additional resources to improve access to life-saving treatments. For the details of this and other foreign developments, let's join Willem Bewusa.
More than 445,000 people were killed by malaria in 2016, with Africa accounting for 91% of those deaths. According to the World Health Organization's latest global report, last year also saw reported malaria cases rising to 216 million, up from 211 million compared with the year before. 90% of those cases were in Africa. The continent also suffered immensely in 2013 when Ebola killed more than 11,300 people and infected some 28,600 as it swept through the West African countries of Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Local authorities say at least 61 people have lost their lives in clashes in Ethiopia's Oromia region since Thursday. According to regional spokesman Adisu Arega Kitesa, ethnic Somali gunmen killed 29 Oromos in Hawi Gudina, who then responded by killing 32 ethnic Somali Ethiopians in a revenge attack in Daro Lebu district. Mr. Adisu said more than 350 homes were also destroyed. He said the region was working to bring the perpetrators to justice. The death came days after soldiers opened fire on protesters in Oromia Selenko town, killing 16 ethnic Oromos. Regional President Lema Megesa said it was unclear who ordered the deployment of the military on Tuesday, but he said this illegal act should be punished. And the head of the Argentine Navy has been sacked following the loss of a submarine and its crew in the South Atlantic last month. According to BBC, the defense minister placed Admiral Marcelo Sra in retirement on Friday night. The ARA San Juan disappeared with 44 crew on board after reporting an electrical problem off the coast of Patagonia. An international search operation has failed to locate the vessel.
That was Willem Bewusa with the foreign news. And now to end the news, a recap of the headlines. The UN Special Representative for International Migration, Louise Abbott, has said migrants should not be viewed as a burden in countries where they seek asylum. The government turns over Grand Cru County Service Center. And the World Health Organization, WHO, has called for additional resources to improve access to life-saving treatments. That's the Unmill Radio News, a production of the Public Information Session of the United Nations Mission in Liberia. For more news and information on Unmill, log on to www.unmill.unmissions.org, facebook.com/unmill2003, or twitter/unmillnews. I'm Augustine Hammelberg. Good afternoon.
Welcome back to Soul Food. The song, God's Gift to the World, by Ted Neely and Carl Anderson, begins the flow of music on the second and final portion of Soul Food.